Get ready for the Girls on Games podcast, your weekly dose of news, reviews, and everything video games. Always served with a good helping of hype and just a pinch of salt. And now, your host, Leah.
Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I am the host of this show. This is episode number 310, and we are on the eve of E3. And I'm joined by my friend and co-founder, Catherine. How are you?
I'm good. It is hot as balls today.
Yeah, I know, and it's the Cat and Leah show today, too.
Yes.
We were supposed to start recording like an hour ago, and Kat and I just spent an hour catching up because we haven't done that like legit the two of us in so long. Lamenting about work and life and everything, and it just feels good because Kat and I used to spend at least 8 hours a day together.
Yep.
If not more, when we work together at the radio station, and yeah, it's so nice that we do have this touch point every week with Allie and Simon too. Miss them, but Kat, we've been friends for so long that it's just like we don't talk for a week and then we get back together and it's just like old hat. Like it's so easy.
it's like we never left.
Exactly.
It's like we've always been together.
Exactly.
But yeah. Right. Simon is has a big
He's doing a birthday kind of like outing sort of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
with fam and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. For his birthday, his family and his girlfriend got him some socially distant activities in Quebec City,
which is lovely.
Lovely,
the
beautiful.
The photos he's sending in Discord are gorgeous.
Yep. And within province, so he's okay. No international travel. He just went to a different city.
Yeah.
And Ali's still house hunting or in the woods looking for her tongue, whatever. So it's going to be just the two of us.
Just the two of us building castles in the sky. And we always end up when we do start podcasts, you know, we say like 11:30, 12:30, we start. We always ramble for a good half an hour for it anyway, before we actually start recording. But I don't think we're the only ones to do this. Mike records his pod and I often hear him in the back. And I know when he starts, like, record, like, talking with the boys. And then I know when he starts to, because he puts on the radio voice and I can hear it while I'm playing games out in the living room. I'm like, oh, they're only an hour late starting. They must have had some catching up to do, which we did. And so, yeah, it's good. It's not like, hey, we're inside, there's air conditioning, right? We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It still gets hot in my office. So I'm sorry if you're going to hear background noises, but I ain't closing this door like
I don't blame you. Yeah, it is warm one. But yeah, let's get some housekeeping done and then get into what we've been at this week. Of course, if you enjoy this show, you can subscribe. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean. Also, if you would like to get some GOG merch, you can do that by going to designbyhumans.com/shop/girlsongames. Kat, funny story, I was cleaning out my closet the other day, found my awesome crew neck sweatshirt with Alice's design on it, and ended up wearing it out one evening when I was like, when it was cooler out and sitting by the fire, and yeah, got lots of compliments on it. I want to bring that one back into my rotation now once we get back to fall and it's not sweltering hot outside.
Yeah, I have a big... It used to be very oversized. I have the Girls on Games logo on a crew neck.
Yeah.
And I haven't worn it a lot, and it was very big. But I find now that I'm
ripped.
Bigger.
Ripped.
I think it'll fit me a bit better. So I'm also going to bring it back into rotation this fall. Because I've been wearing the same, because of confinement, I've been wearing the same clothes over and over instead of like, you know, saving my nice, quote unquote, nice clothes. That I have like a lot of shit that once we're allowed to leave the house again is not even going into the donation bin. It is that
bad. Oh yeah, I feel you completely. I have a bunch of stuff to go to the donation, but then there's other stuff that I just tossed because like no human needs to see that.
like, just like, oh, you know, it's not too see-through. Look at the armpits, and they're like, those are completely see-through. And I'm
yeah.
like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Garbage bin.
Or, like, you know you've worn a shirt out when the screen printing starts to crack?
Yes. Yeah. I have that.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can always, we can go pick up some new stuff at designbyhumans.com/shop/girls-on-games. But maybe you'd like to give us a tip, maybe buy us a coffee. We have a Ko-fi for that. That's ko-fi.com/girls-on-games. Kat, it's been a weird week for me, mostly because I'm in that pre-E3 haze where I have things I could play and yet don't want to touch anything. So I'm just been like, you know, kind of doing some, and also it's wicked hot out. So doing some stuff outside and things like that, and planning for games. But outside of gaming, it's just been like work full tilt. How about you? Same kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Work's been pretty busy getting, because we're planning for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ubisoft just announced that for Montreal, we're getting like half days on Fridays.
That is so cool, and I'm yeah. jealous.
I am.
Dear Belle.
Very happy about it. As a thank you for COVID and everything, and just mental health. And especially since this summer, we're going to be able to do a lot more stuff than, mm-hmm. because people are getting vaccinated. And mm-hmm. And in Canada, because we only have that window of the weather being nice enough for us to be outside and safe to do activities,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's pretty much July and August. So,
yeah.
So because of that, like, we work has been trying to organize all our deliverable and our priorities based on that, and people taking vacation because it's summer. And I work on a live game, so it is what it is. Like, the game doesn't stop. So it's been a weird week for me at work of just really like sitting about and just like evaluating tasks and evaluating feasibility and, you know, asset audits and what can we do and things like that. And I'm new to game dev, so I'm new to that process of sometimes, like, there's going to be weeks
mm-hmm.
where it's just planning. It's mm-hmm. just plan. It's not doing things. It's not being a game dev. It's planning. It's just like, how long is this going to take? How long is this going to take? Can we do this? Can we do that? And that was new for me.
Yeah. And that's something that I've been like asking for eons, is like, I wish I just wasn't in like putting out fires all the time. And mm-hmm. now I'm in a similar boat with work, where launched a big project a few weeks ago with Bounce Radio. And now I'm just doing the cleanup, because I said to every project, I was like, if you are not part of this one big project, you're getting pushed to June. And that is it. I do not have the mind space. So now I'm picking up the pieces of that. And it feels weird because it's a little bits and pieces of things rather than one big entity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but that's okay, because I feel like you need that time in your work life to reflect and plan, and that's what makes projects roll out somewhat smoothly, if not smoothly.
And if anything, that means my input counts. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's great. And, you know, for context, For Honor, we're a smallish team. So, you know, you just got to. So everybody's involved. So it was a weird thing for me to learn about, but it was a great process in general, mm-hmm. just to like have a good idea of how much time I put in stuff and how much time and effort actually goes into a game in general. You guys, it is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, now I am way more sensitive to gamers complaining about, this game has no content, game dev are lazy, this is not getting fixed. And after like this was my like second round since I've been on the project of just mm-hmm. like sitting down for a week and just planning the next mm-hmm. sets of sprints. And I'm just like, game devs are not lazy.
No. You need that time. You can't just go back and recode something after it's code. Like, that takes time. Like, you need to be smart with your time management, and that requires planning. And Kat, I'm sure, because you went through art school too, as well, you know, measure twice, cut once. It's important. You need, like, that is a motto in life that I take to pretty well everything I do. Measure twice, cut once. Because after you cut, you're screwed.
Especially with a live game. Yeah. But big news is that For Honor's on Game Pass now. for console and cloud. As that's wicked. So I installed it on my Xbox.
Nice.
Poke people at work to get Steel so that I can unlock customizations and characters. Yeah. And I kind of want to test to see, like, because I haven't really played the live game. I've only been playing in internal gameplay sessions.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious to see how I will fare in the live game, because I feel I'm terrible. But then again, I play against game designers and QA testers.
The people who are the best of the best, because they have early access and do nothing but that.
I feel like I might be at a disadvantage because I was playing against a dude who was playing Griffin and he designed Griffin.
Interesting.
And I was trying to learn a new character and I got ganked. It was not funny. That's the big news, I think, for me this week is just like that in Critical Role. Fuck!
Yeah, so, okay, hold up. I've seen everybody talk about Critical Role, and you know, I've mentioned it many times that I need to get into this. I feel like this is the season I need to go back and watch and really understand kind of how it all works and get into one of those stories, because I've never done it before. But it sounds like the end of the season was, monumental.
It's not the end of the season. It's the end of the campaign.
End of the campaign. Sorry.
So they've been playing these characters and the story for 3 years.
Yeah.
And this is their second campaign. So the first campaign is when they joined Geek and Sundry.
Right. And
it was a game that they were playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of like started streaming it as a test with Geek and Sundry back when Felicia Day was still Felicia Day's company.
Right.
So we got there like halfway through the story. So they did recaps and they were like, okay. So it's just people playing a Dungeons and Dragons game. But because they're like professional storytellers and actors and voice actors, like it is the role play. It is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I know some people get angry because like Matt likes to bend the rules for the sake of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their priority. Like each table is different in D&D and that's their priority. And now after that, once they wrapped that story up, they did a second story. And the second campaign was the first one that was fully online.
Okay.
From level 1 to level 16. And so Thursday was the last show of that campaign. So
okay.
They're wrapping that up. And then they're going to announce their third campaign. I don't know when. I think they're taking a break. So I started watching. I've been catching up this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the previous episode, which was the final battle with the big bad evil guy. And today I'm watching this Thursday's episode, which was like 7 hours.
7 hours?
Yes. Including, they said 7 hours, including breaks and stuff like that.
Shit.
They pre-record right now because of COVID.
Right.
Usually it was live. Like they would like at 7...
You'd broadcast live.
At 7 p.m. Pacific, they were in a studio and they would turn on the live feed to Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, since COVID, they've been pre-recording. I think they record on Friday afternoon.
And then post later.
Yeah, but they don't edit. They just pre-record because there's just, because of social distancing. But yeah, it was, it's 7 hours and I'm watching it right now. I sub to their Twitch so that I can watch the VODs.
Mm-hmm.
I had stopped because I was so behind I could watch them on YouTube because they're on YouTube as of like the Monday or something. But for that one, I was like, I'm going to resub. Use my Prime subscription to resub to that so I can start today because mm-hmm. I'm not going to get through it.
Yeah.
If not. But yeah, it is... Honestly, I personally love it. It is one... I've tried to get into other Dungeons & Dragons shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't click with me. Like, for me, Critical Role, the type of stories they tell, the type of characters, and also the humor and things like that is really, like, it just jives with me.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's other great D&D shows
mm-hmm.
Out there. but I don't know, Critical Role. Like when they started Campaign 2, I was like, because I found out about Critical Role, they were at the end of Campaign 1. I'm like, I'm not going back through all that content. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. So when they started Campaign 2, I was like, I can start there.
Okay.
And I was so hooked that I went back and watched all of Campaign 1.
Oh, man. I look, Minecraft 1.17 comes out on Tuesday. That's the type of game where you're doing a lot of grinding and stuff. I could totally have Critical Role going. I was going to say rolling. I can have that going at the same time. And I think that's what I'll probably end up doing. Because I like having something companion there at the same time while I'm playing. And it's kind of like a listen along too, right?
Yeah. I highly recommend starting with Campaign 2. Campaign 1 is rough.
Okay, I'll start with 2.
Because we get a bit because we get there like halfway through the story, but also because they were figuring shit out.
Okay.
It's old. Okay. It's not great, honestly. Okay. Just the quality, like the production quality is not there. And, there's a lot of, I think like it's worth it for you to like listen to a wrap up of Campaign 1 because Campaign 2 is 20 years after Campaign 1.
Okay.
So there are callbacks to other characters and, oh yeah, people on YouTube fucking do it.
Okay.
If not through, I don't know if there's one, an official one through Critical Role, but there are people that will do timelines.
Okay.
Like of that. And honestly, like, I think Campaign 2 was one of my favorites. I prefer the characters in Campaign 2 because they're all like disasters.
Okay.
Like Campaign 1 was a lot of like classic tropes of Dungeons and Dragons, like the half elf rogue and the half elf ranger and, you know, the Goliath barbarian, and the way they played their characters, it was a bit safe, but you know, it was a home game. For a lot of them, it was their first time playing Dungeons and Dragons. But the second campaign has a lot of like just terrible people. Like the
misguided characters.
The main characters are not good straight off the bat. And there's a lot of like redemption arcs or just
like they play in the gray.
Yeah. And that's where I live. That's where I thrive.
I've been watching Suits. Mike and I decided to start Suits. Mm-hmm. And the characters that they have, they all live in the gray. And I kind of like that. It's interesting to you know, not having an altruistic character, because usually they're the ones that are the most boring.
But it's also like it's the most true to life.
Right.
You know, it's you're not always a good person. And sometimes you take your interests first and sometimes you take your friend's interest first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so that's why I preferred Campaign 2. I mean, it's. Yeah, I'm still wrapping my head around the fact that the show I'm watching right now is going to be the last one. And then wait for whatever Campaign 3 is going to be.
That's tough.
That's going to be exciting as well. But then after that, I can take a break and go back to powering through Mass Effect.
Yeah, the wait is the wait can be long. So yeah, let's talk about games. So you are you like me? Have you kind of put everything on pause because you're kind of like trying to get through? Yeah,
I play. I'm still playing a bit of Mass Effect here and there. I'm currently going through side quests, ignoring the main quest, as I do. Playing here and there, but I've put everything on hold this weekend so that I can power through Critical Role. But that's basically it, and a bit of For Honor, but I can't talk about what I play in For Honor because like I said, I play unannounced stuff or stuff that they're like, let's just test this. Nah, it's bad. Scrap it.
Yeah, I have been like, I wanted to try and attempt to finish Subnautica Below Zero, like at least get through the story, but I'm just not motivated because I have just been watching YouTubes and planning and thinking about my 1.17 world because I'm going to start fresh and I'll probably carry it over into 1.18 and just delete chunks and stuff, but like just planning because I feel like I haven't touched it for a while, like Minecraft, outside of just because I watch like Hermitcraft, and I have a bunch of YouTubers that I follow and that kind of stuff. So I kind of get it vicariously through them, kind of like my fix. So now I'm actually planning it out of what I want to do for my world and like figuring out what kind of, I'm not going to play straight survival. I'm going to keep cheats on. I'm going to, you know, be strategic and want to do like, I'm going to spawn the world and then look around and figure out where I want to build my base. Like, I'm not going to just straight up start a full survival thing where you, like, mm-hmm. start from ground zero and not look at stuff. I'm going to go look around and see what's there and find the right spot. Like, I want to build in a flower biome because I really want to go and make a bee farm and make all the cute candles and all that kind of stuff. Like, I want to do something aesthetically pleasing.
This update, is it one of the, like, the caves and cliffs updates that they call
it? It's considered caves and cliffs, but the caves and cliff stuff, like the generation of the world stuff, is actually coming in like November, December, like near okay. the holiday time, because this was such a monster update. And I can totally understand why, because and you and I just had an hour-long conversation about like prioritization and you mm-hmm. know, changing dev prios based on workload and what's coming up and all that kind of stuff. And this change is so big that they want to do, like, they're changing the world height. Like, this is not just okay. like you usually have like a certain amount you can go, like there is a zero and that's bedrock and then I think it goes up to like 300 and something high or something like that. It's ridiculous how high it can go. Anyways, now they're even going below bedrock and above that and making like the caves, like, it's called Minecraft because you mine and you craft things, right? Mm-hmm. This is changing the mining mechanic completely when it comes to world generation and where you find things in the world.
Okay.
And so that, along with all the other mechanics that they're adding, like, they're adding new functionality, new ore blocks, like, how, when you, usually when you mine a piece of iron, per se, you get the block that looks like what you just mined, and then you have to go and put it in a furnace and melt it down to make iron ingots. Now what they're doing is, instead of you getting that block, you're actually getting a piece of ore that then you have to put through a furnace. But because of that, you can still, in other ways, if you get like a special type of mechanic on your axe called Silk Touch, you could, if you wanted to, get the block the way it was, but now you're adding in another piece of the system. So it's like changing up the entire mechanic on top of world generation. Like, that just, like, it's just a monstrous task in my mind to try and put together. So I totally understand why they wanted to split it. Plus, there's like other things like, oh my God, what is it called when you go and you're, it's not archival. It's when you're going and you're digging up bones and stuff. Archaeology. That's what it is. Yeah. That's another mechanic that they had planned, but they're not putting it in this update this coming Tuesday because, like, it's a huge game mechanic change, right? So there's so many things they need to iron out, right? So yeah, I'm glad they split it, because I think they would have ran it. One, we wouldn't have got the update, this update now. And there's going to be so many things they're going to have to iron out because it's severely changing how the game works, which is what I love about Minecraft, because you learn how the thing works and then they do certain tweaks and you have to kind of relearn it again and refigure out the mechanics. Sometimes they're better, sometimes they're not, you know? So yeah, I'm pretty stoked to do that. And I just want to make something. I was talking to Mike about it the other day. I was like, I just want to like have a project and make a thing, right? Yeah. And I think a digital world in Minecraft that if I put it on, and I'm debating now whether I want to put it on an online world or just keep it on my computer and have multiplayer so I can have people come visit and see it and whatever else. But I just want to make something.
Speaking of make something, I did a pandemic thing and ordered a tie-dye kit.
Good for you!
So I don't know, like, I might do that this afternoon since it's hot as balls, but I have decided to take some of my lighter clothes that mm-hmm. have suffered the pandemic disgustingness mm-hmm. and give them a second life by tie-dyeing them and
nice.
Hiding all the stains. And
I can't wait to see it. I mean, like, I picked up a cross stitch again. I have a cross stitch project that I want to show everybody next week, but for some reason I've just kind of like not touched it for a week, but I really want to finish it. I'm so damn close. I showed it to you guys sneakily in Discord the other day, and yeah, I want to finish it because I want to share it with the world. But it's good. It's nice to have something to make, to feel like you're outputting something productive, even if it's something just to make you happy or bring second life to something, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, or, you know, get, just give you that adrenaline boost of having accomplished something.
Yeah. I'm actually also, like, I've been doodling on my iPad, but I haven't really finished anything, but I've been looking at, like, because of, like, Critical Role ending, I was, like, looking at my fine art of Critical Role or just, like, stuff like that. I'm actually, like, playing with the idea of maybe opening up a print shop.
Why not?
Because, like, I've, for the past, like, I've had this iPad, I don't know, like, 3 years, 4 years. And I've got, like, a backlog of watercolors I could take photos of.
Yeah, why not? Do it. So,
something else, another project to think about.
Instead
of thinking about the existential dread.
Right. No one wants to think about the existential dread, do they?
Or the fact that I've been indoors for a year and a half.
Yes. And the other thing that popped up last week, because obviously weird E3 time, things, news popping up left, right, and center. I think this one I wanted to get out before the festivities, which are going to take over our life starting next week. We'll talk about that very soon. There's this game that's coming out called Palia that is like a MMO Animal Crossing meets Stardew Valley meets Breath of the Wild. That I'm like, what is this? So now I'm spending some time learning about that. I signed up for the pre-alpha to see if I can get into it.
That looks amazing, actually.
I know.
I'm into it. It's coming for what? For PC?
I guess they're starting on PC. I mean, pre-alpha. It's she's a baby. But yeah, it looks glorious.
My PC's not good.
Don't even talk about it. I was thinking about upgrading my graphics card, and then I was looking at the prices. And I was like, "Yeah, I gotta wait."
it's on the Steam. I'm pretty sure I'm not gonna be. My computer's not gonna be.
Well, I did when you do the pre-alpha, one of the things to get like a higher chance is to fill out a survey. So I fill out the survey, and you know they just ask a few questions about how good your computer is.
If my computer was good enough, I would be playing Baldur's Gate 3. Let's be honest.
Okay. All right. I think we need to talk about some of the news that has popped up over the past week, though. We're kind of in this weird state that the news is about news coming. So, and then we can talk about our schedule a little bit, because the podcast is going to take a little bit of a loop-de-loo because of, you know, press conferences. You know, E3 is really a thing this year. Who knew? All right, let's get into that. Okay, we're back. Gonna talk news. But first, Kat, I think we just, you know, kind of need to lay it out there. E3 starts next week. Yes. And it kind of happens smack dab in the middle of when we record podcast, which makes no sense for us to record at a normal time next week. So, yeah, I want to kind of put it out there. Everybody be ready. We're going to be delayed a bit, but mostly because why would we come in and record on a Saturday or Sunday morning before half the conferences even happen? So definitely, you're not going to hear a podcast from us till at least Tuesday evening. And we haven't even set and figured out what time yet. But the Nintendo press conference happens Tuesday at lunchtime, so Eastern. So, sorry, but like, there's no point in us coming and producing something that's going to be moot point.
The way I see it is we could easily just skip an entire week and then just show up the next week.
We could and talk about what our favorite things are, because it's not like you won't hear from us. Everybody's gonna be tweeting. I might be going to hang out with Steve online to talk some stuff, do some live watches with Steve Saylor. Maybe we'll just put a pause on it, because like, you will hear from us, just not in this podcast setting, because it's gonna be we just fall in a weird time during
E3. It's just gonna be a lot of noise for news. And I think like for us, like the what our shtick is, if you mean, it's us like talking and reacting. So whether we react as the news happen or we react a week later, I think we'll just play it by ear and see how we feel. Also, whatever's announced, like it might just be that following podcast might just be being like, there was no Dragon Age, there was no Elder Scrolls. I don't want to be here. I don't want to live on this earth anymore.
Oh my goodness, it's true. Yeah, and we did get some news on the schedule. Kat has one link, and maybe you can roll through what you have. And then I found another one too, because it's been, here's what's weird about this E3. This E3 has stuff that we're used to, like Nintendo press conference, Xbox conference, UB Forward, that kind of stuff. But then there's other people coming in too that are doing stuff as well that is not the major, you know, platform holders nor big developers, but are still things that we're super intrigued by, like the Wholesome Direct. So in some lists, it says it, and then other lists, it doesn't. So plus Summer Games Fest is all tied into this. Yeah. E3 is going to have an awards thing this year. So yeah, let's run through the schedule and chat it through. And then maybe we can talk about a few leaks that have come out.
Yeah. So for the major, like the biggest one in the conferences we're used to, Saturday, June 12th is Ubisoft Forward, which is the new name, the branding for Ubisoft's press conference. There's supposedly something with Gearbox Entertainment. There's no time or date for it. And then on Sunday, June 13, is the Xbox and Bethesda showcase. And the PC gaming show, which is usually a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, I have tried so many times to watch that conference, and I just feel like it's... they need to tighten it up.
So Sunday, it's Microsoft, Square Enix, Warner Brothers, and the PC Gaming Show, and 24 Entertainment.
Okay.
So that's going to be a big, big, big day. I say pick and choose what you want to watch. I think Xbox is going to be big, just because it's one of the big ones.
Of course.
Square Enix, they are teasing Life is Strange. And Black Panther War for Wakanda, which is an expansion for Marvel's Adventure. That's what they're teasing. Was Ubisoft teasing stuff? Hey, they're teasing stuff for For Honor.
Ah, things you're working on. Yeah.
Watch Dogs Legion and The Crew 2.
That's cool. And then surprises.
And the next, the Tom Clancy's formerly Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what that game kind of evolved into post-pandemic.
That's an unfortunate name.
But when it came out, we weren't in a pandemic.
Exactly.
Know? Like, I know. What can you do? So many things have been burned by it. But yeah.
Yeah. And then Monday is there's Capcom, Take-Two Interactive, Mythical Games, Freedom Games, Razer.
Razer's doing a press conference. Interesting. Yeah.
So I don't know if like these, there's no time for a lot of them, so I don't know if it's gonna stack. I think some people have been putting out on Twitter like actual schedules and stuff. I am personally the kind of person that will just kind of like scour the news sites and hope that they kind of like make... I'm not a big conference watcher, to be honest. And then Tuesday is going to be the classic, like in their classic spot, we're going to have the Nintendo Direct and Treehouse Live. That was confirmed recently. Like, as of recording this, I think they confirmed it like 3 days ago.
Yeah, it's fairly fresh. Yeah. Because we were waiting. We were like, when is this going to happen? We're like a week out. What's going on? You know?
That day too, Bandai Namco is supposed to have a conference. No details as to when and what as of recording this. And then finally, Thursday, July 22nd.
Which is far
in a month, is going to be EA Play Live. So I'm going to have a link to a thing on a Polygon article that has the details and the times and EST and PDT. I don't want to just throw numbers at you guys. It's going to be really hard, but just know that everything we're used to except PlayStation is going to be there.
And that's kind of a half used to, because pardon me, even the year before last, like 2019, there was not, PlayStation was not part of E3. So
no, But yeah. They still kind of did a conference.
They did a thing. Time. Yeah. So it was like weird. And I'm sure once E3 is out and stuff, they'll announce their next big thing. Yeah. But, you know, we saw Horizon Forbidden West the other day. Is that what it's called? Forbidden West?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We've seen. And that's where it's weird. It's because we saw that. We saw some Far Cry 6 stuff. Like, I feel like we're getting news kind of early. Right. So Speaking of that, so Kat mentioned the big ones. The other stuff that's happening that's kind of like E3 adjacent is yesterday there was a Guerrilla Collective conference thing and a Black Voices in Gaming thing. So go back and check some of the announcements that came out of that. Then obviously not E3, but still tagging on to E3 and stuff is Summer Game Fest, you know, Jeff Neely's thing. That really kicks off on the 10th. So you'll start seeing things starting on the 10th. It says right now 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. BST. And there's going to be announcements and stuff. And this is where you're going to start seeing info about games that are not part of E3, like PlayStation stuff, Activision stuff, where they don't have press conferences. So, you know, you're going to get tidbits of information about those outlets and those game and developers and consoles and whatever else is going to come up in the Summer Game Fest stuff. IGN is obviously doing their thing. I feel like you're not going to get the big announcements. You're going to get more like in-depth coverage from them, more details and things like that. That starts on the 12th at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. BST, which is kind of like after Ubisoft and stuff too. So I imagine you might end up getting like further details of on games that were announced or things that were announced from Ubisoft. It's kind of like more in depth if you want to go like further into the weeds on some things. Devolver is going to have their conference on the 12th. And this is the thing. Nobody has like a list. Like, this is changing so rapidly. The Cat had one list and then I have another list, and it's, you're just going to have to keep track with Twitter.
But I like how Games Radar did it. It's a good list.
You can share this one if you want.
Yeah. I'll put links to both. The Polygon one was like more like the
majors.
The majors, and this is like really everything. But anyway, I only care about Devolver Digital.
Yeah, but they don't have a time quite yet, so that'll come.
Doesn't matter. I love
Guerrilla.
Them.
Guerrilla Collective Showcase is happening on the 12th as well. Before some other stuff, before UB, before that. So 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. BST. That'll be interesting. And the one that I am really excited for, the Wholesome Direct, is happening 1 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday, the 12th. So I'm really stoked about that because they said it straight out. Over 75 games are going to be there. And you know this is like the bread and butter of GOG. This is like the cutesy, nerdy, you know, like this is the shit this group lives for. So I'm really stoked to see what comes out of that. And I'm really impressed that this is like a whole sect of games that like, and a category of gaming that really deserves the love because it gives back nothing but love to us.
Yep.
We mentioned UB, same time, Gearbox, no date. What else? They have Xbox, the Square Enix. Future game shows, which is tied, it's part of Games Radar. So that's happening on the 13th. You'd mentioned the PC gaming show, no details on that. Warner Brothers is also supposed to have a press conference on Sunday. We don't know when that's happening, but I mean, like, hopefully we'll get some more details on Gotham Knights, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, Hogwarts Legacy. I know Hogwarts Legacy is kind of like iffy right now, but I'm like, I'm still really excited about it. But I know it's like controversial considering J.K. Rowling and being the time she put her foot in her mouth so many times. Yeah. 14th, what didn't you mention? Talk to Capcom, Take Two, that's it. And then June 15th, Nintendo and EA Play. So yeah, I mean, it seems like it's more, you know, forward loaded. The 12th, the 13th, that's when we have a lot of unknowns. But man, it's gonna be a fun weekend next weekend.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch Ubisoft Forward live, probably, because it's, because I'm not working in marketing, I have no idea what's going to be announced. So
you're actually going to be surprised this time.
I know, but I read the press conference where they're like, hey, we're going to be bringing the press event that they sent, being like, we're gonna tease these games. So if there are big surprises, I don't even know. I'll be like, oh shit,
that's cool.
I'm gonna probably most likely watch Xbox and Devolver Digital. I think that's it. I think everything else is just gonna be like keeping up with news sites, catch up what they tease and what they catch up. And even then, the Xbox one tends to be like 2 hours, so I don't know.
It's 90 minutes, but I feel like because it's Xbox and Bethesda smooshed together,
it's gonna be a lot.
It has potential to like really blow it up, like, and do crazy stuff. And hopefully what they'll do is any deep dive stuff, they'll kind of just leave, so we won't get like 30 minutes of Halo. As much as like I want Halo news, I want more details about other stuff too, right?
Like, oh, it just reminds me of that fucking like Nintendo. They were talked so much about Smash Brothers at one point that they were talking about like,
I remember that.
Somebody's like some character's shoelaces,
remember,
upgraded the assets. It was such into granular detail that we were like, we don't give a shit.
First off, we are not first for Smash, like that's not really our thing here. And then you're like, that is hyper detailed. Did you really need to put that in a press conference that was going out this big? But anyways,
That's what you keep for like interviews with like content creators that make content for the super fans.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. Like Xbox, I might watch lives, or I might just wait until it's over and then watch on 2X.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. So I'm going to watch wholesome Ubisoft. I'll put Gearbox in the background. See, the thing is like there's ones where I'm going to be sitting there actively like live tweeting or reacting or whatever. But then there's other ones just because I like this weekend. Well, I'll just keep it on in the background all day. I'll keep Kinda Funny or IGN or somebody on in the background all day and just like hear it as I like clean my house or do cross stitch or, you know, something like that. Right. I
or
love
play
that.
Minecraft.
Play Minecraft. Catherine, you know. So yeah, I think that'll be fun. Nintendo, I'm gonna have to lock off a lunch hour, which I think I have a meeting during, so I'm gonna have to tell my boss, sorry, can't do this meeting this week. This happens once in a blue moon. I really want to watch. But yeah, I think I was talking to Steve Saylor earlier, and I think I'm gonna join him for a live reacts on Twitch. So that might be fun for Xbox on Sunday.
If they have stuff for Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, I am losing my shit.
We all will. We'll all be like, table flip, take my credit card. You know that meme on TikTok with the person and they're hitting their table with the credit card on the desk. You know, like that is us. Just like, I don't even have to think about it. Just take my money. Just take it.
Yeah.
And a new Switch. Take my money.
My team is really good at avoiding noon meetings. And I know on Tuesday it's going to be canceled.
See, that's the thing. It's like, because you work in games too, it's easier. Yeah. I have to like slightly be like, sorry, I just can't do it this day.
I wonder. Oh, maybe.
But they know my addiction. I mean, we're in Zoom meetings all the time. They see my umpteen consoles.
I'll see people want to do. I think, you know what I'll do? I think I'll poke my team and I'll be like, who wants to watch this while we're on a Teams call and react to this?
Yeah, why not? That's fun. That's really fun.
I work with nerds. Work with other gamers. It's crazy. Like, I'm on a game dev team, so we're really excited about this.
I had a meeting with some of the folks in that do like the partnership for Bell, but for like events and stuff. And one of the guys that I spoke to who works for the esports division, we've had on the podcast.
Nice.
It's awesome. Okay, so that's that. Obviously, leaks are kind of happening at the same time because some stuff's getting out there and is getting announced early and whatever. But then there's obviously leaks because, you know, this is the world we live in. Forbes has an article up. I think it came from, kind of started on Reddit, but then, you know, was reaffirmed by Jason Schreier in the info that he knows that 2K is working on some shit. And one of the things that they're working on, it sounds like, they're not sure if they're going to reveal it at E3 or not, but it's a marriage between Marvel and XCOM, which I am here for.
People are losing their shit. It's a good mix.
It makes total sense because you have an arsenal of characters that have all these different superpowers that can be made into that kind of strategy game. And it just makes sense. It makes sense. And the things that I've been hearing about the rumor mills about it, or what people would like, some people are saying it'd be kind of cool if it was the X-Men. And I think that could be kind of cool. But I mean, I could also see it as like the full roster of the Avengers too.
Yeah. Or just Marvel in general.
Yeah. So that's many... really cool. Yeah. They also talked about NBA 2K22. Are we surprised? No. And then there is a mysterious title currently referred to as Codename Volt, and a Borderlands spinoff tentatively titled Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. So all kind of leaked on Reddit, then reaffirmed by it's on Bloomberg. Jason Schreier reaffirmed about the XCOM stuff. So I'm here for it. I hate the leaks because obviously then we're not going to be as surprised, or we're going to be disappointed if they don't talk about it then. Like, that's the mm-hmm. one thing that I don't like about leaks. I would rather they just come out and say it. But, you know, this is E3 and this is the video game industry, and this is how this shit happens every year.
Yep.
Outside of that, there have been some delays too. You probably saw, if you're obviously aware of video games and the internet, you probably saw the team from PlayStation come out and speak a little bit to what their strategy is and what's coming. And one of the things that did come up with that was obviously delays in getting certain games out. The God of War sequel, which is, I guess, kind of called Ragnarok. They haven't actually said that that's the name yet. It's kind of like their code name around it. Is getting delayed. They said Corey Borlaug had come out and said that it was going to be this year, and because of everything, I guess they misscheduled and things like that. So they came straight out and said it's going to be delayed until at least 2022, which I'm okay with. They also announced that it's going to come to PS4, which I think is appropriate, because who can get a PS5 right now?
No one.
Yeah, I'm the only one on the team with one, and that's because I magically found it.
Robots get PS5s.
Exactly. So, you know, I think this is appropriate. Unfortunately, as per usual, there's some backlash because the internet is the internet and gamers can be dicks. And there has been some backlash to folks like that work on that game, like Alana Pierce, who's been getting hate mail from it. Really terrible stuff on her Twitter DMs, and Corey rebutted all that and got really mad about it and stated, and really, guys, like, you have to stop that shit. Like, seriously, you have to stop calling out devs for, one, decisions that are outside of their control because they are not senior management, and two, just being absolute dicks and saying that a game gives the right for someone to get, you know, death threats and wishing that people get raped and like shit like that. Like, people need to stop this bullshit. Like, honestly,
if you take it personal that a game does not come out when you want it, where you want it, and how you want it, fuck you. You don't deserve to play games.
Exactly. So a new story that we'll link in the thing about how all that went down. But what is good about this is how much, if we're giving these people and shaming these people for being the dicks that they are, at least the gaming community is coming together and help support others, and for people to understand that is not the individual developers, that this is a business decision that they make at a high level to make sure everything goes out smoothly, because nobody wants a broken game and nobody wants crunch. And the only way that we're going to be able to rectify these situations is that if we give the games the time they need. And game development is hard. Very hard. Development for anything application-wide is hard. Games is hard. Online stuff is hard. Give people the time they need to do what they need to do.
Yeah, it's like, you think stuff happens out of thin air. You know, like, you think Uber just kind of like arrived on the iOS store and it was there and now it's a thing. Like, you don't see the years and years of planning, and then legal work, and then design work, and then getting investors so that they can do it. Like, shit does not happen overnight, and games are exactly like that.
Yeah, you know, programming's hard. You can't anticipate how one fix for one thing could essentially impact something else. You don't know. You're working in a ecosystem that can be volatile because of the way it's constructed and timelines and complications of, like, maybe you know stuff can happen. Like, it's just,
and it's crazy because, like, God of War only has to think about one cert. They have to think about Sony certification.
Yes.
And even with that just being doing one console, one platform, they have delays to meet, you know, like, quality, you know, certain levels of quality and things like that. Like, imagine games that have to do PlayStation cert, Nintendo cert, Xbox cert, which is different from PC, Microsoft Store cert, and Steam certification. It's just like, there are people that their main jobs at, like, third-party studios like Ubisoft, EA, Take-Two, Capcom, Bandai Namco, all of this jazz. Their job is just, like, making sure we meet certification so that we can publish the game. So that, so many times, like, I would like to know, like, if somebody has that kind of data, but we don't because the game industry is so fucking secretive. How many times a game has been delayed just because it could not meet a certain criteria of certification on top of
everything else.
Everything else that goes into game dev. Like, maybe it's a something then go through legal because of copyrights. We law, you know, like, for music or for things like that, or for names, things not going through because of major bugs, or just leaving talent, losing talent, fucking pandemic. You know, it's crazy. So, I mean, for something like God of War to be, like, in the best case scenario, for it to be delayed means you have to understand that this shit is not easy to begin with.
Yeah. All right. And the last story of the week, Catherine, I'll let you speak to this one. I don't know a whole ton about it, but we are in the middle of Pride Month because that is June. And most places celebrate Pride during June. And a lot of companies do try and do activities or marketing or whatever to help support the communities, the LGBTQ plus community. And sometimes even the best laid plans don't follow through exactly the way they would like them to.
That's why you need diversity on your team so that people can flag the obvious shit that's not obvious when you're cisgendered and white and a man. Injustice 2 Mobile decided to have a Pride event, and the Pride event was to beat up Poison Ivy, which is a canonically bisexual character. So for Pride, you get to beat up a queer woman.
I don't know why this went down. Like, I get what they were trying to do, but it seems bad way to go, considering how much violence is directed towards the LGBTQ plus community,
and it is disproportionately more targeted towards female presented member
of
the queer community. So, you know, like, we know, women, cisgendered, trans, whatever, if you present female and you're LGBTQA plus, chances of you getting beat up are higher, unfortunately. So we get it. It's a fighting game. And their logic was like, it's a we're going to make an event where you beat, it's a boss event. But you don't pick, instead, like, why not announce a new character, or why not announce new gear, or why not give XP boost if you play a character that identifies a queer? Why say beat up a bisexual character? Why? Anyway,
and it's not like once, like, it's like this build up to this big reveal and whatever. In order to, like, do this, you need to, and to follow through in the community challenge, you need to, like, take her on a lot. So it was, like, repeatedly laying the smackdown, which, you know, is once, you know, okay, if it was, like, a whole challenge, there was a mission or something like that, but then it was, like, umpteen times. Like, it just,
it's like if Apex would have grabbed, like, their non-binary character and their and they're gay characters, and it was like, you know, they do a PV, instead of a PvP event, they do a PvE event.
Yeah.
And you gun down those characters repeatedly.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. They should have just made, like, cosmetics and you know, other types of rewards.
I know, like, it's a lot of pander. Like, a lot of people will be like, it's pandering, it's marketing, we don't give a shit. But it's like, just, if you want to do stuff for Pride, you know, I know it's, for some people, it would be tacky and pandering to do rainbow gear, but if you don't want to do rainbow gear, just promote people, like, playing the characters that are LGBTQA+, because they're all over these universes, especially yeah. in Marvel, like, more and more, as you know, like, as the new generation takes on these mantles and become writers and artists for Marvel, they want to see themselves in these stories.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's, if they want to see themselves, just like for She-Ra, the latest reboot, it's just, if you want to see yourself in it, you got to write these.
Mm-hmm.
And if this, I think this just shows that they didn't listen to their LGBTQ team members, or they were just not in the room to begin with.
Yeah, I know at work, I constantly have to play the devil's advocate. I feel like there was no devil's advocate in this room when they made this decision, just being like, let's think about that. How could someone bust this apart?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, is this actually doing any good? And is it being detrimental, even though you're trying to do good?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's just like, maybe the best thing you can do if you're like a fighting game is maybe just say, send out a tweet saying, hey, happy Pride.
And yeah, we support there. You. Here are some community members or development members who are in this, and they have, or, you know, we support them and help push their careers forward, instead of saying, let's beat up a...
Yeah, or like find some great Injustice content creators that are a member of the LGBTQA community.
Yeah, give them a platform.
Give them a spotlight, or fucking pay them to make content for you. I don't know.
Or like, make some skins and say that all the money proceeds is going towards
stuff like the Trevor
foundations
Project.
That'll help support them. You know?
Yeah.
There are other things you could do.
Anyway, that was incredibly tone deaf, and they had to backtrack and they had to put an apology. And it just shows that if you don't have diversity in your team, just mistakes.
Yeah, but with that, I always like to try and say, okay, so now we've learned this is one way to how to not treat these scenarios. Let's use it as a learning experience and say, okay, next time, don't do this. For everybody else, pay attention. This is not the way you deal with these kinds of situations. And hopefully then that will, you know, we'll never encounter that kind of a situation again.
And being a violent game, whether you're a fighting game or first-person shooter or whatever, never doesn't excuse this type of thing. Right. If anything, the more violent the game, the more careful you have to be about how you present the violence and whom it's directed at.
Correct. So. All right. Well, that pretty much closes this pre-E3 podcast, as we are on the eve. And like we mentioned, not going to be a normal podcast next week at the normal time. But you will be able to follow us all online and especially on Twitter, join our Discord, all that jazz. So we'll give you all those details now in a second. But of course, if you're curious about any of the stories we talked about today, be it the schedules, you know, the story about Injustice, all that kind of stuff, you want to read more, Catherine does an excellent job putting that all together and putting it up on the website in the show notes for this episode. So please do go check that out at girlsongames.ca. If you could also do us a solid, and you have the ability to either rate or review the podcast on the podcast system that you are currently listening to this podcast. I said podcast a lot of times then. Podcast, podcast, podcast. Please do so. Why? It helps with discovery. It helps move us up in the rankings, and more people can learn about Girls on Games and what we do here, and how we're just a community of best friends who love video games and love talking about it and speaking critically. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And with that, I want to give a chance for Kat and me to shout out social media handles, because of course E3 is going on, and we're going to be talking all about it online, all the discourse. Catherine, where can people find you?
I'm CSDSBINSCSW on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to follow Simon, he's not online. He's in our Discord. And Allie is 8BitBlonde on Twitter, Instagram, and Xbox Live.
Yeah, she's going to have a busy week, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, community manager for Xbox. She can be real busy. I am Leah Jewer on most social media platforms. Of course, though, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down at The Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook. Just Girls on Games, no thought in there, on Instagram. Discord.me/Girls on Games to continue this lovely conversation and more. Gaming channel is going to be hype this week, considering all the news that's coming. So that's going to be fun. I'm really excited to be live chatting, texting with people as E3 rolls on. But of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can track it down at our home base. That is our website, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Kat. This has been awesome. The two of us, you know, we can still hold down the fort.
It's back when we first started this thing. You know,
yeah.
It was just you and I.
It's just you and I. Oh, my. All right. It's time for me to edit this thing, since I'm going to be editing this week, which I'm perfectly cool with. It's been a little while since I've done that. Actually, we had a great note in our Discord channel about somebody asking about, you know, if we listen back to the podcast and things, and, you know, how we correct ourselves and learn and things. Was it Comfy Gamer that mentioned that?
Yeah.
So, here's a prime example. I'm editing this week, so I get to edit out all my flubs. And remember that my catchwords are the same thing all the time. I try to work that out of my system.
Honestly, because it's a conversational podcast and we are a multilingual crew,
it is hard
to avoid the blunders and the crutch words. And me, I have pronunciation issues. Like, sometimes my brain is just, we're going to say this word in French. And I'm like, no, don't, please don't.
So true. When you can't remember the English word too, and you're just like, I know what that is in French.
You know, you're
why can't I say it in English? And then I have to tell my mom the French word.
Yeah, you know, you're perfectly bilingual when you go for a word and your brain is like, here it is. I'm like, that's not the right language, but your brain is like, I gave you the word. My job's done.
Yep, pretty much. All right, folks, have an excellent week. Enjoy E3. Please connect with us. We want to feel the excitement together. It's the first bit of video game excitement that I've really felt in a while. I, as much as E3 can be bad, I'm really excited that it's back.
It's the most excitement I've felt in...
My feelings! This pandemic's
been hard.
It has been hard. All right, we're out. Talk to you later. Bye.